There's so many ways I could go with this. My head's bursting. Good morning. Welcome to chapel this morning at this Christmas time. You're all very welcome. Good to see chapel looking so full. This morning's speaker is Dave Hopwood. So without further ado, Hoppy, would you like to come up and light our Advent candles? Good morning, Hoppy, by the way.
Good morning.
Whilst I do the notices to save time. Our title today, which Dave will be steering us through, is My Spirit Rejoices. And we have multiple readings from Luke. And in most Bibles, the subheadings for that is The Birth of Jesus Foretold. We look forward to that. We have Christmas flyers for particularly highlighting the carol service this evening and Christmas Day. Due to the cancellations last week with the snow and the ice, we've got lots of flyers left. So at the end of the service, I make no apology, I'll go around and just give people a few. The whole of the village, well, 95% of the village has been done, but if you know any family and friends, or you just want to bring it up in conversation, or just even use them as notelets, as you see, the website's on there, so you can point people to the website where all the services, recordings, and more importantly, the notices and the prayer diary will be, which has been updated. Thank you. Two aren't like. Well, we'll just pretend. In the true form of Blue Peter, we're nearly there. Yeah. And they set the studio on fire. That was worse, actually. Later in the service today, Hoppy's going to be steering us through our communion service. So shall we commit our time together to the Lord in prayer? Shall we pray? So, dear Lord, we praise and thank you for this chance to meet together in your name, to worship you and to learn from your word. Thank you for Christmas time and for the wonderful and most important gift of Jesus. You came to earth as a babe and gave your life for each one of us. May each one of us claim that Christmas present now, afresh every day, or for the first time this Christmas season. And just commit the monetary gifts given this morning and those donated electronically to the work of extending your kingdom out from this place. May these gifts glorify your name. We invite and welcome your Holy Spirit to minister to us now as we concentrate on you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great. So, a call to worship. Shall we sing our first hymn? It's 35 in the books, if you prefer the books, or Jeff stood in front of you. But all the words will be on the screen. Angels from the World, Realms of Glory. Thank you. That's four. Well done, Pat. Well done. Pat was just putting off having to come up and do the reading. Yeah. You were just going to keep playing. Pat, would you like to come and do our first reading? Great.
The reading is taken from Luke 1, verse 26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Okay, thank you, Pat. Lovely. So we've read that, and we're going to see it now, particularly for the children. They might like to see this wonderful animation that Hoppy and I have found here. It's just a few minutes long, and really echoes what we've just been reading about. Really good, isn't it? Like that. The whole of that is available online. You don't have to be subscribed to anything. It's not Amazon or anything. It's just on YouTube. So if you'd like to see the link, just let me know. I can get it to you. It's really good. We're going to move now into a time of communion. And we're going to split up the singing of our next song. But as we start with the first two verses, the Sunday school, we've got a little Sunday school this morning, are going to go out, and it doesn't matter if they make a noise, they're just going to be in the kitchen, where they're going to learn more about the Christmas story and are finding out what the best present is. I know. Okay. And then Hoppy will take us through communion. So, 3, 4, 5, it came upon a midnight clear. Thank you, Pat.
Gift of the bread and wine, and we remember that this was originally something that Jesus did in the context of a meal. And so I often think with this, when you pair it right back, part of the reminder of the bread and wine that we're having is food and drink, and we all need food and drink. And what Jesus did was he used food and drink all the time to help people understand him and connect with him. And here he was saying partly, you need food, and you need drink, and you need Jesus. So every time we eat, actually, although it won't be communion every time we eat, but every time you eat and drink, in one sense it can remind us that we need that, and we need Jesus in our lives to be fully alive. So we're kind of thinking on that as well this morning. But also, I love the notion of doing this when we're so close to Christmas. Because one of the great names that comes across at Christmas is Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. And this is a sign that God is with us. And I got a reading that a couple of years ago, my daughter, who was then about 7, and my wife, who was, young age as she is, they recorded this that we used in a little service. Now, I thought it would be appropriate to play it again today with a sharing communion. It's only a minute or so long. But it's just reflecting on this being, Jesus being this radical expression of God, comes so close to us, so near to us. So have a little listen of this. I've got the words on the screen as well.
We thought of God as distant, hidden somewhere in the clouds, up there, unapproachable, a deity too far away.
One that would not be interested, would never come close, for fear of getting his hands dirty. Then a young woman from Nazareth,
and some mud-spattered hillside shepherds, and a clutch of saddle-worn, weary stargazers, brought us their story.
God is with us, born in the dark and the night, knowing trouble and poverty, cold, oppression and struggle. Emmanuel. God with us, precious and perfect.
Knowable and loving, compassionate and kind. A different God, a world-changing rescuer, with understanding in his hands.
And life-giving truth in his heart, gritty and glorious.
And on our side, God with us.
God with us. And every time we eat and drink this special meal that Jesus has left us, we're reminding ourselves of that, that this week, today, God is with us. And the first time this was written down in what we call now called the Bible, it wasn't called that then, it wasn't in Matthew, Mark, Luke or John, it was in a letter that Paul wrote, And this was it. It was called 1 Corinthians, the letter. And he wrote this. So he wrote down what he'd been told himself about what Jesus did. Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this, remembering me, in remembrance of me." And we'll come to the wine in a minute. I'll say a little prayer and then we will share the bread together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are a God who has come close to us in our daily lives, in our work, in our struggle, in our joys, in our laughter, in our tears. You have come alongside us and continue to. And Lord, as we share this bread now, representing all that you have given us in your body, all of your life, Lord, we want to say thank you and help us to appreciate and see again who you are and who you mean to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. And when you receive the bread, you can just eat it on your own, in your own time, as a sign of your relationship with God. When we do the wine, we'll all wait and drink together as a sign that we are one body. As we think about the wine or the juice that we're going to drink this morning, this representation of Jesus' blood, one of the reasons this was so powerful when Jesus did this was that in ancient times people believed that the blood of an animal represented all of their life. That's where the life and the soul of the animal, if you like, was, in the blood. It's one of the reasons why the Old Testament Hebrews were told never to eat an animal with blood in it. Because it represented something very precious to them. So when Jesus said, "This is representing my blood," he again meant, "This is everything about me. This is all of my life poured out for you." It had deep meaning to them, really, as it does to us now, of course. So again, coming back to Paul, in the same way after supper, he took the cup. This is Jesus. He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, say a prayer. Lord, thank you for that new covenant, that new agreement that you have made, Lord, between us and God. This meeting together through Jesus, through all you have given, all your sacrifice and resurrection and life, Lord, all poured out for us. And Lord, as we look to celebrating Christmas again, help us to see again the deeper meaning of all that is, all that you have given for us as you have come near to us. We thank you again for that as we share this wine together, this representation of your blood poured out for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. And we'll, if you hold on to your cup, then we'll share together. Lord, thank you that we are not just called into this on our own. We're called into the family that goes by your name, family that you have rescued. Lord, keep on reminding us of this, to watch out for each other, to care for each other, because of the way you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to continue now with the last two verses of the same body.
Thank you, Hobbs. Lovely. So we'll have our second reading in a moment. Just bear with me. Nini welcomed everyone to the carol service earlier. So having been visited by the angel, Mary goes on a journey. Mary goes to see her cousin Elizabeth. Now, we're not sure of all the details, we're not told in Scripture, but we are told she goes 80 miles. It's 80 miles to this place, avoiding verbalizing, which is in Judea. We don't know exactly why. Popular belief is that both ladies were pregnant, Mary obviously just having been told. And Elizabeth, we're told, is in her sixth month. This passage is commonly known as Mary's Song. That's the subheading in most Bibles. And when Mary sees Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy, we're told. And that baby, of course, is John the Baptist. And popular reasoning for this is an early indication it's showing John's reverence towards the Lord Jesus. Okay. All the words in this following reading are Mary speaking. Okay. So it's Luke 1, 46 to 55. I've got the words on the screen if you'd like to just follow that one. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he has promised our ancestors." The subheading in most Bibles for this can be the Magnificat. Explanation for that is it's from the Latin, my soul magnifies the Lord. That sort of echoes our title for the day, my soul rejoices. It's a cantel arranged way back in 1723. I just wanted to point out, like the journey, we often think of Mary having the journey heavily pregnant to give birth on the donkey, etc. And the journey we've already looked at, that's the reason I highlighted that, the 80-mile journey to see her cousin. But also she's been on a journey, and did we notice in the first reading, verse 29, she's greatly troubled. Verse 34, she's almost questioning the Lord. How can this be, she says. After she's been to see her cousin, while she's with Elizabeth, she's completely, if you like, changed her mindset, and where she says, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. So she's sort of really got the significance of what's happening. So Hoppy will be applying and expanding all that in a moment. Okay, but first, so we just have a short time of intercessory prayers, and during this there'll be a time of quiet where we can bring things individually to the Lord. Shall we pray? So, dear Lord, we bring before you our intercessory prayers. We ask for your special blessing and comforting hand on those who are not with their families this Christmas time. Our missionary friends, Laura in Peru, Catherine and with Rehoboth, and the doctors and nurses and other key workers doing long and difficult shifts over Christmas. We pray for your wisdom and guiding hand on all the issues regarding our NHS and the postal workers, particularly this week we're remembering Afghanistan in our prayer diary. Be with those who are displaced and with those Christian organisations, with BMS worker Ruby, and be with all the refugees, and inspire, we pray, those in government to rectify all the injustice and financial wrongs. In silence now, we bring before you the loved ones known to this fellowship who are unwell or alone or just needing your special touch just now. Thank you, Lord, and just be with Dave now as he ministers your word and your wisdom to us. Hear our prayers, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. As we hand over to Dave, let's sing once more, 2 to 9, Tell Out My Soul.
Peace is all my God. His mercy shall rise to pain's curse. Well, hello again. It's lovely to be back here. A bit warmer this morning as well, isn't it? So quite so wild and frosty out there. we chose that last hymn, Nick and I, because that's actually based on, you know, Nick was talking about Magnificat or the Song of Mary. Those words are inspired by her song. And in fact, her song is inspired by another song, a character in the Old Testament called Hannah, who when she found out she was pregnant, she sang some similar words. So we'll come back to that. So kind of they all get passed on down the generations, really. But I just want to think this morning around some of the themes around these stories. Hopefully I'll know what to leave in and what to drop, because there's lots of interesting stuff going on here. The first thing, let me just say a little prayer. That's probably much the best way, isn't it? Lord, please, would you guide me this morning, guide us. And I pray, Lord, that what I share this morning, what we hear from you this morning, will help us not just for today, but through the coming Christmas season, through the coming week, the coming month, Lord. Please guide us, help us to hear your voice, and please show us the way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I didn't want to go through all the reading again, but I just want to highlight this. I think this is really interesting, and I've heard other people talk on it before. An angel appears to Mary. I love that little animation that Nick found. We don't know what it looked like. It's been portrayed in lots of ways. But here comes an angel saying, Mary, you're highly favoured. God is really pleased with you. And Mary's response is, yikes. Really? What's that all about? She was greatly troubled. And I think the thing about it is that sometimes what is good news can shake us because it means change, doesn't it? It's not what we expected. And certainly in Mary's life, she never expected this. She was probably very young, really. And she thought she'd be getting married. He had a big village wedding in her village. Everyone came and they'd be dancing. It would go on for a week. It'd be fantastic. But not if you're single and to have to tell everyone you're pregnant. All of that's gone out the window. She's lost all of that. And Joseph has lost it too. And that's not for me to talk on today. But that's what she's facing with this. Okay. So, good news comes and she's frightened. So I wanted to show you this little video. Because sometimes when people do good things, it shakes us up. And we're not ready for it. It's not our way. So this is just a bit of comedy from the MASH report, a spoof news story. Have a look at this.
The governor has been accused of terrorising London by walking around saying hello. Generic northerner Stephen Malley left Londoners traumatised by his attempts to interact with them in a friendly, cheerful manner. Here's Nathan with more.
Malley arrived here at Oxford Circus at 9:32 this morning. He had already said hello to several people en route from King's Cross Station, leaving worried commuters unsure why a man they did not know was talking to them. He made direct eye contact, and then said, "Morning." Is this a statement? Because it was the morning, but no, something this tone suggested this was a greeting. Malley was apprehended by London police, who were forced to let him go, as friendliness to strangers is not a crime until next year. Outside the station, Malley gave a statement.
Where I come from, it's okay to greet strangers or comment to them about the weather. I did not know the customs of London, and I apologise if I offended anyone. I did not mean to be happy.
And Nathan, what should Londoners do if approached by a northerner?
Headphones on, head down, and avoid eye contact.
If you've ever been on a London tube train packed with people, someone standing right here and someone right here, no one really acknowledging the existence of another, you'll get the joke there, really. But of course, it's not always like that, is it? But that thing, you know, where the angel brings this good thing to Mary, the good thing which is how we've come to be here right now. But Mary has no idea that we will be here today because of what she says yes to. But good news comes in, and understandably, she's frightened. I don't know if you've ever been in that way where, you know, someone comes with something to announce And to them it seems like good news, and to you it's like, oh no, what's it going to mean? A bit like that with Christmas these days, actually, in our house, because Lucy, who's 9, wildly excited from about October, and I'm thinking, oh, all those preparations and things we have to do and decorations we have to put up. And perspective. Different, isn't it? But anyway, oh, let's go on. Another little aspect of this passage that I like, and I'm going to refer to one before it as well. This is my portrayal of Zechariah, who's the father of John the Baptist. You heard Nick talk about Elizabeth, who's the mother. And when Zechariah meets an angel, I think it's probably the same one. The angels are very busy around Christmas time. Zechariah says, wait a minute, how can this happen? I'm old. My wife is, you know, well into her years. What do you mean we're going to have a baby? And the angel is different with Zechariah than he is with Mary. Mary has a question. How will this be, since I'm a virgin? You know, how can I be pregnant? That's not possible. What happens with Zechariah is the angel says, you won't be able to speak until the boy is born. Now, we can often read that as a punishment, but I heard recently someone said to me something which I really like. The angel gave Zechariah time to reflect. He was given the gift of silence so that he could reflect, and it changed him. Time out changed Zechariah. When his son was born, he wouldn't have called him John, really. He probably called him his family name. But that was the first thing he said was, his name is going to be John, because that's what the angel said. So Zechariah changed with time out. I'm like that. I need time. You know, I hear something, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to go with that. I need time to adjust, time to change. And God gave Zechariah time. With Mary, the angel didn't say, well, you won't be able to speak for 9 months. It was different. So questions come from different places within us, but they're never wrong. They're never wrong. Just read the Psalms. They're full of questions. You know, we come to God with our questions. Questions are an expression of faith. You know, when we can say to God, how can this be? How can life get better when, you know, things like this are happening all around in our country? How can it be? And then maybe we spend time with God and try and listen to what he's saying for us as an individual and as part of the family of God, really. So never wrong to have questions. Now, this is the song that Mary sang. And I mentioned about Hannah, I want to come back to that. But what I want to say about this song that I think is crucial is this. She doesn't sing it straight after she meets the angel. What she does after she meets the angel is she runs away. And again, Nick was talking a little bit about this. She goes to see her cousin. And wow, that is such a great gift from God to her. She's going to meet a woman who is also miraculously pregnant and who is pregnant. And she stays with her and sees her have the baby. So this young teenager called Mary is given the gift to someone else who understands, who loves her, who is having a baby as well, and who knows about miracles. And what is amazing about her encounter with Elizabeth, again, Nick mentioned this, Elizabeth could never have known that Mary was pregnant. She wasn't showing at that point. It was very recent, the news. And yet the first thing Elizabeth says to her is, you're having a baby, and it's all to do with God. And she couldn't have known. So then Mary sings this song, because another human being has confirmed to her that God is at work in her life. And that's, again, something that's so important for us. We have the power to help other people. And Elizabeth was the one in that situation to say to Mary, God is in this. God is working in you and in your life. And then Mary sang this great song as a result. You know, I think that whole time she spent 3 months with Elizabeth, and it must have been such a changing time for her, a strengthening time for all she was going to face. When, by the time she got back to the village, she would have been showing a little bit. So suddenly everyone would know, Mary's been away and she's come back pregnant. What's that all about? Mary had the strength to face all of that because God gave her Elizabeth to help her. So other people, we are so important for each other. And if there's one prayer we can pray is, Lord, this week, help me to be strength and encouragement for someone else, even if I don't realise it. Work through me. Because there's so many people out there that need strength and encouragement at the moment, aren't there? So we can pray that. Here's the Christmas story told in a slightly different fashion. Again, we're going to see the angel again appearing to lots of people. This is a church, it's called Southland Church, I'm not quite sure where it is. We'll put this on YouTube. So the children tell the story, but adults mouth the words that they're saying. I hope you'll enjoy this. Slightly different version. Have a look at this. Baby that's going to change the world. I love that little bit where Joseph says, I love you, there I said it. You know, we need to say it, don't we? We need to say it sometimes, which is why we have these great songs, like Mary had her song. Now, in the Old Testament, Hannah seemingly can't have children, and she prays, and then the priest says to her, by this time next year you'll be pregnant. And she is, and she has Samuel, who goes on to be one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. I think he's the last one, actually, in the first judge, but that's a technicality, really. But she sings this prayer, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Oh, how the Lord has blessed me. Now I have an answer for my enemies, as I delight in your deliverance. And later on, these are words that are very similar for Mary's. Those who are mighty no more. Those who are weak are now strong. Those who were well fed are now starving. And those who are starving are now full. Mary talks about people, the downtrodden being lifted up. And it's a sign, really, that a lot of these people are poor themselves. Hannah, Mary, Elizabeth, they're not the rich, powerful people in their culture. God has chosen those who are on the edges, who don't have much, who are poor. And they're celebrating the fact that God has brought this into their lives, and it means change. It means new things. And it's the big message running through all of the Bible, really, is that one day Jesus will come as king. I put there Jeremiah 9. That's a lovely little couple of verses I really like, and they're famous. They go something like this. Let not wise people glory in how clever they are. Let not strong people glory in how strong they are. Let not rich glory in how much they've got. Let people boast about how well they know the living God. That's what it says. That's the thing that's really important. That's what's going to last forever. And that's what these songs are about. You know, this. It's only the beginning for Mary. It's a long way to go yet. Mary's Christmas begins in March, April. I don't think she puts up any decorations at that point. But you know what I mean? She starts way before the rest of us, that story for her. But the whole story is only beginning at Christmas, isn't it? Jesus is going to grow up. He's going to do his ministry. He's going to work for however many years as a carpenter builder. He's going to do all of that. Then he's going to go to heaven. And then he's going to pass on his work to us and through us. And we're still waiting for the King to come back. That's partly what we think about when we light these candles in Advent. We're thinking about the coming King who will return one day. And I think one of the things that is a great sign to me about the promise of God at work in our lives and the promise that he will return is that everybody you meet, doesn't matter what their worldview, what their religion, what they think about God, most people, I think, or everybody would say, this life isn't good enough. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be something more. This life just isn't what we thought it was going to be. We've been made for something better. I think everyone would agree with that. You've only got to turn on the news or pick up a newspaper. You know, I mean, we didn't make it to the finals, did we, of the World Cup? You know what I mean? So, but that's a light-hearted thing. But there's so much that's wrong. And there's echoes of this in this great little song from West Side Story. This lady here, she's called Valentina. This is from the remake of West Side Story made by Steven Spielberg a couple of years ago. And this beautiful song called Somewhere. And I just want to play a little bit from you. But this is so similar to what Hannah and Mary are singing about. A better place. A place where things are right. Where truth is told. Where everyone is loved and valued. Where forgiveness is what people buy into, not criticism. Not judging, but forgiveness, a new way. So I'll just play a little bit of the song. Now, it's a cry of our hearts, isn't it, for something better, that God would change things, you know. And in Christian circles, people talk about revival a lot, don't they? And I think that's at the heart of what people are saying. We want a better way, and we pray for a better way. And we are part of that, aren't we? We're both waiting for that better day to come, but we're also called into. Every time we show God's love, in what we do and what we say to others, we are part of the kingdom of God at work in this world. There are lots of prophecies about this better day in the Bible. Daniel, in chapter 7, he sees a vision of someone coming down who's going to rule with all authority over the whole world, and he's going to rule in what is called righteousness. In other words, there won't be any fake news, there won't be any lies told, there won't be anyone marginalized or pushed aside. There won't be violence. We won't worry about our children. They'll be perfectly safe. There'll be this whole new day. Revelation 21, that lovely line where it says that God will live with us and he will be the one that takes away all our sorrows, and there'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. And then in Isaiah 65, this beautiful bit, which is echoed in Revelation, look, I'm creating new heavens and a new earth. So wonderful that you won't even think about the old ones anymore. It'd just be too good to be true. It will be true. And also, he mentions here, it's very interesting, talks about people's work will be satisfying for them. You know, I think that's one of the great things in life, isn't it? Some people have satisfying jobs, but most people, I mean, we see it at the moment, so many people struggling with their work. It's not satisfying, or it's not earning them enough to live. You know, it's all pain and struggle. Well, one day, all our work will be satisfying. And our children will not in any way be doomed to misfortune. The Bible is so relevant to what life is like, isn't it, in the struggles that we face. And this other little bit, there's a version of the Bible called The Message that I really like. And there are some great little phrases. And this is from Isaiah 11, which is one of the great Christmas prophecies. But what, and it talks about, you know, the lion and the lamb sitting down together in peace. And again, another vision of the future. But I love the way it puts this first bit. It's talking about Jesus, okay? Each morning, he'll put on sturdy work clothes and boots and build righteousness and faithfulness in the land. Jesus was a carpenter builder, but he didn't just build houses and tables. He was building righteousness and faithfulness. He builds it in us to share with others. And he goes on day after day, working so that it flows through us. I love that picture of him putting on his work clothes in order to do that. Really. And before the final thought, I just wanted to show you, say this, you know, for Mary, for Elizabeth, for us even, there's a lot of waiting. And someone described it to me as the kingdom that's come in Jesus, but is still yet to come, as a train. Here's the train. Oh no, it's still coming. And it's still coming. And it's still coming. And it's still coming. I tried to find the longest train I could, basically. But it's a great picture. The kingdom arrives at Christmas. But then it goes on coming in different ways. Jesus grows up. Jesus goes, leaves us, sends his Holy Spirit. We're part of the church. And it goes on. And one day, the train will have fully arrived and peace will come. But it's just a great little picture, I think, of that. And because this morning we're thinking about Mary rejoicing, I just want to close with this. You know, she sings this great song of giving worship to God. And this is one of my favourite flash mob moments. I don't know if you've seen any flash mob moments. They were very popular a while ago now. This was in 2010, where a group of people prepared and rehearsed and practiced something that they could launch on other people and it would make their day. It would be a fantastic thing. And this is so good because of what these people practice and launch. I think it's in New Zealand. Maybe some of you have seen it. Have you seen it? I don't know. If some people have already caught it. It's been around a while. It's great, and it's a song as well. I'm just going to play it for you. I'll just show you what happens with it. It's best just to see it as it comes along. And I'll close with this. There's two fairly young guys at the end there. One of them goes to the other. That was all right, wasn't it? Which I think is high praise. But, I just want to finish with that because, it's like the glory of God breaking into ordinary life. And that's what Christmas is all about. Jesus breaking into ordinary life. And that's where he's going to stay, in ordinary life. So let's just pray. Lord, thank you so much for all you gave up with the heavenly glory to come down to our lives, the nitty-gritty of our lives, gritty and glorious, and that you're never afraid of the troubles that we face. You're never afraid of the darkness that we sometimes encounter in our thinking and in our living. Lord, help us continue to be the God who is with us right beside us, Lord. And may we trust you with those things that we're frightened of this day and this week. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't think it was so popular in the kitchen, that Hallelujah chorus. But anyway, we're going to finish with a final carol, As With Gladness. And, this is another... We've been singing songs this morning, really, about angels speaking and God guiding. So it's another song about that, really. It's number 39. Prayer to close. Lord, we thank you for today. And we thank you for all that we have. Lord, show us again how much you are close beside us in our lives. And be with us now as we share tea and coffee together. Be in our conversation and be in our listening, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, wait, all this morning, it's a very short intro. I've got like a 2 minute intro. But if I do that and then call them up, is that good? Is that good?